We're not gonna. Our last day will be Friday, Mirtz Hashem. Will be Friday next Friday. Friday we'll learn halacha. So we have basically 8 days. So what I would like to do for the next 8 days, instead of learning Sefer Chassidim, I would like to learn some halachos for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Yisrael Tshuva, and also maybe Sukkos, and until the Yom Tovim. Now I was trying to think what we should do. I mean, I think last year we learned inside Matei Ephraim. Remember that? We learned last year Matei Ephraim inside. Again, about Matei Ephraim. So I was thinking about doing that again, but I decided we did it last year, so let's maybe do something different this year. And instead we'll speak out. We'll speak out various halachos that are important for the up and coming Yomim Noirum. Being that it's very late, we'll see. Maybe I'll just go straight till 12 o'clock. We'll see what happens. Maybe not. Maybe we'll stop and then we'll just speak about something else. We'll see how it goes. If you want to ask questions, it's good. But please, Abai Sai, please let it not get out of hand. Okay, so let's just try to do the best that we can, maintain some decorum. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning. Chodesh Elul, we are more than halfway through Chodesh Elul already. What's today's Hebrew date?
16.
Today's the 16th day of Elul. Okay, so already more than halfway. Everyone knows that Elul is Rosh Tevis. Ani li doidi vidoidi li. The last letters of Ani li doidi vidoidi li are Yuds. Four Yuds. The Gematria 40. So Elul, it's on the one hand 30, it's a month leading up to Rosh Hashanah, but Mitzad Sheni, it includes the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah through Yom HaKippurim. That's why, one of the reasons why we focus, everyone has the question, why do we focus on this month more than any other month to make an acronym? Ani Elul, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. How come you don't have anyone making acronyms for Adar, for Shvat? You don't hear about it. You don't hear about it. No one talks about these. This is something which is universally accepted. Ani li dodi vidodi li. And part of the reason why there is because it's ani li dodi vidodi li, the end letters of that expression, besides the fact that it captures the whole essence of the Yom Tov, we're coming close. It's a two-way street, that we come close to Hashem, Hashem comes close to us, but also captures the 40 days, the four yuds, 40. There are 40 days from the beginning of Elul through the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. There are many minhagim that we do during the Chodesh Elul. Number one is, we all know that we say L'David Hashem Oiri, all the way through the end of Sukkos. Why? Because it mentions Oiri V'yishi is referring to Rosh Hashanah Mimi Efchad, is Yom HaKippurim, and it makes mention Yastireini B'Seiser Oholoi is the Sukkah. Now because of that reason, Yastireini B'Sukkoi, because it makes mention in L'David Hashem Oiri, it makes mention of the Sukkah, that is why we stop saying L'David on Shmini Atzeres, because you don't go into the Sukkah. And that's why the different minhagim, do you actually say L'David on Shmini Atzeres or not? So we all know there are different minhagim. Do you sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Some do sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Some do not sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So those that do sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, they continue to say L'David for one more day because they sit in the Sukkah. Those that do not sit in the Sukkah, already when you finish Hoshana Rabbah, that's the last day when it's appropriate to say L'David. We say L'David Hashem Ariv Yishi because of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. But once we already get through Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, why do we continue to say it? Oh, because it says Yasti Reini B'Sukkoi. It's May Hashem shelter us in His Sukkah. And that alludes to Sukkos. But Simchas Torah, according to all opinions, we do not sit in the Sukkah. It would be Bal Toisef to sit in the Sukkah on Simchas Torah. So that's why we do not recite L'David on Simchas Torah, but we do recite L'David on Shmini Atzeres. How could it possibly be? That's a very question. Many people ask that question. Why? Why do we stop in the middle? Everything that we do with Seka Dioma, we do consistently. Well, the answer depends on sitting in the sukkah. We do not sit in the sukkah on the ninth day because it's certainly not going to be sukkahs anymore. But we do sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because of Seka Dioma, it might be the seventh day. Therefore, since we are already sitting in the sukkah, so we likewise will recite L'David Hashem Oiri. Not everyone recites L'David Hashem Oiri. There are groups of Hasidim that did not accept it because it's one of the earliest sources for reciting L'David Hashem Oiri is a siddur called Chemdas Yisrael. And this siddur was suspect of being written by a supporter of Shabtai Tzvi. No? So maybe it's the wrong, what's the quote, which sefer? Give me one moment, may I say the wrong sefer? The name of the sefer, where it's cited as a source, one moment. I have it here. Chemdas Hayomim, I'm sorry. Chemdas Hayomim. Okay, Kosav Tamad Mikub Mibesav Vaisav Kevon Shit Takono Zo Hu Min Hasefer Chemdas Hayomim Sheyesh Oyerin Olaf. I remember hearing of Schneur Lyman. He gave a very good share on this the Sefer Chemdas Hayomim and the source for reciting L'David Hashem Oyri. This is the earliest source for the minig to recite L'David, and it was later discovered that this fellow who wrote Chemdas Hayomim is suspect of being a supporter of Shabtai Tzvi. That's why Al Kain Loy Nohagu Lo Oimroy Besans. Sans has a lot.
They say 18 Kapitlachtim
instead of saying L'David. Okay, so Shabtai Tzvi was a person who almost destroyed Klal Yisrael. False Mashiach. A false Messiah. Shabtai Tzvi. It's a lot of the big topic of discussion. This is a very hot issue. Rabbi Schneur Lyman, he gave a fantastic share. You can probably find it on yutorah.org. He gave a very fantastic share, never such a good share about this topic of Rabbi Schneur Lyman, about L'David, the Machlokes in Klal Yisrael, by the Misnagdim, the Litvish Olam, everyone says without exception. However, among certain groups of Hasidim, they do not say it, and the reason is because of the Chemdas Hayomim. He's a suspect of being from the supporters of Shabtai Tzvi. Now, those who do recite L'David Hashem Oiri, when do we say? We say Shacharis, and when? So there's a min nusach Ashkenaz and Sfarad. Ashkenaz says it Mayriv, and nusach Sfarad says it by Mincha. What's the reason? Because it used to be back on the day that nusach Sfarad would always daven Mincha with Shkia when it got dark. The goal really is to say it in the beginning of the day and the end of the day. In Litta, the Mincha was typically davened earlier in the day. If Mincha is davened earlier in the day, so there's no purpose of saying L'David because you already said it by Shachas. You want to say in the evening. By the Hasidim, they daven Mincha with Dimdume Hachama, with sunset. So being that they finish Mincha when Shkia already has been passed, they finish Mincha with Shkia, so then by the time they get up to L'David, it's already past sunset, or much later than that. That's why their custom was to recite it at the end of the day by Mincha. Today, Nusach Svar, they daven early as well, and people who daven, Nusach Ashkenaz, daven late. We live today in the global melting pot, so the whole thing today really doesn't really make any sense why we do it one way or the other. But however, Hanach Lohem L'Yisrael, it's Minig Avoseyem, Nusach Ashkenaz recites it at Maariv, Nusach Sfar recites it at Mincha, even though most of the time, if you go back to the reason why you're davening it by Maariv or by Mincha, the reason doesn't apply. If you're davening Mincha with Shkia, then L'Chora, it would be proper to say L'David when you finish Mincha. And if you're davening Nusach Sfar, and you're davening Mincha early, then L'Chora, you should not say it. You should wait until Maariv to say it. But however, since this typically wasn't standard, that is why it is the way it is today.
Chaim Berlin say in the morning?
Chaim Berlin, they do like a regular Nusach Ashkenaz by Shachris and by Meirut. Standard Nusach Ashkenaz. Like everyone else.
Rabbi Skula said, even though everything very Hasidish, he says, look, David, at Meirut.
Because he probably daven mincha early. He probably daven mincha early. If you daven mincha early, so save you l'dovid, save you l'dovid for ma'ariv. The goal is the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Okay, let's go back to Tekiyah Shofar. Tekiyah Shofar, when you're in shul and the blowing shofar, do you have to stand for Tekiyah Shofar? No. There's absolutely no requirement to stand for the blowing of the shofar after and during Chodesh El when they blow the shofar. You can remain seated. It just happens to be that since we normally do Tekiyah Shofar before we say L'David, and we're already standing because we just finished Oleinu, so it works out that we're already standing. But if a person happens to be seated, for whatever reason, he does not need to stand up for the Tekiyah Shofar at the end of davening. What do we blow? Do we blow a full set? There are different Minhagim. Most shuls blow Tekiyah, Shvarim Teruah Tekiyah, and that's it. There are other shuls that blow a full set. Tekiyah Shvarim Teruah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Tekiyah Teruah Tekiyah. The question is, why do you blow the Shofar? Do you blow the shofar kedila arvev has satan to confuse the satan? It's sufficient to blow just one short set to get him confused. If you're blowing the shofar to practice, to get into the routine of what you're going to do for Rosh Hashanah, which is another time given by some of the major commentators, you have to get yourself into the proper frame of mind. You have to practice. You have to practice listening to the shofar. L'shmoya kol shofar. So if you're going to practice, you do a full dress rehearsal to blow a full set, Tekiyah Shvarim Teruah Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Tekiyah Teruah Tekiyah. So that's the difference of the Minhagim. What is the Iker Hatam, whatever you hold to be the Iker Hatam will have influence on what exactly you're going to blow by Shachas. Do you blow by Mincha and by Ma'ariv? By us, we don't see it being done, but there's no doubt about it. In many of the earlier sources, the Minhag was to blow by Ma'ariv or at least by Mincha. At least by Mincha, to blow twice a day, not just to blow by Shacharis, to blow by Mincha as well. Okay. If you're davening B'Yechidus, do you have to hear? You should have your hear. If a person knows how to blow Shofar, and he davens B'Yechidus, he should see to it that he gets a Shofar, and he blows it himself. It's an ancient minhag, it's a very important minhag, not to be mevatel the minhag, every day to hear Shofar. A person davens B'Yechidus, so whatever it is, if you can do it yourself, do it yourself. If you can't do it yourself, you should go just pass by a late minion, just at least to hear the tekiah, the blowing of the shofar during Chodesh Elul. Many people don't know this. They think, they don't know, many people, they work, they don't have time, they can't always daven with the minion. They have no choice. They have to go, that doesn't work out for them. And they have to know that it's not a simple thing during Chodesh Elul to miss out on the blowing of the shofar. People have to leave davening early. Many people, they have to catch a train. They have their important things, very common, running out. But what's going to be with Tekiyah Shofar? So come earlier and hear the Tekiyah from the old minion, the past minion, the minion before, not to miss out on the Tekiyah of Shofar of Chodesh Elul. Yeah.
The
blue shofar. All right, don't let's no riot or anything.
Awesome.
Almost
if I did that, the blue shofar.
I work 26 Court Street. The blue shofar by Mincha because I know. These guys ran out.
So you're saying one of the you when you trigger a memory, I did see some of it. One of the reasons why they blew shofar by Mincha is not because you're blowing shofar l'shem shofar in order to be mezakeh the people that did not hear shofar by Shachar because they were not able to go to shul. Yes.
The Sefarim that they don't blow shofar in the Elul, the Satan is not Narbevotan.
They say slichais. The slichais is better than the shofar. By the way, you say something very important. It's from the words of Chazal, it's mashma, svardim. They say slichais the entire Chodesh Elul. Ashkenazim blow shofar. In other words, the blowing of the shofar by Ashkenazim is equivalent to the slichais of the svardim.
Oh, listen. They don't blow shofar?
No. So they don't need to. They don't need to because they did. They said slichos. Ashkenazim, we don't need to say slichos because we blew shofar. Okay, I'm just being very polite. Okay? But if you want to be nasty, you'll be nasty by saying that the Sfardim don't need to blow shofar. They did the real thing. They said the slichos. Ashkenazim will say we did the real thing. So we don't need to say the
sneakers. Well, you are not doing the real one.
Okay, so we don't do both. It's one or the other. It's mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive, yeah.
Would it be permissible in Elul to be Yotza this idea over a telephone, let's say?
It's better than nothing. That's the old question. Can be Yotza, Megillah, Havdalah, Brachos over a telephone.
Well, it's for something else. There's no bracha. It's not
It doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt. What about? Well, let me ask you a better question. What about in Rosh Hashanah itself? You leave the radio on. You leave the line of communication, the telephone on. The whole. You have a telephone. You have a telephone in shul. That's a lie. It's live. And you before Yom Tov begins, you call up the shul and you have a telephone. And whatever is happening in shul, you can hear in the house. And you hear broadcast. You're not doing any malach on Yom Tov. It's happening by itself. And you hear over the telephone the kol shofar. L'chayra yinat yaitze for one reason. It's called havara.
Yeah.
It says in the mission that if you hear the echo of the shofar, you are not yaitze. There's no halacha that you're not allowed to hear the echo of someone laying the Megillah. There's no halacha of Shemei HaKohen that if you hear the echo of the person making a bracha of Havdalah that you're not yaitze. So when it comes to Havdalah over the telephone, it comes to hearing the Megillah over the telephone. So obviously it's not a hiddur, it's not a lechatchila, but b'diavad, there are poskim that say that it's okay. Today it's much more of a problem because today there are delays. With all the new technology that we have today, the technology, everything is digital today. It's not analog. Today it's very, very hard to have an analog connection to anything. Everything has been phased out. Even television, okay? Everything has been phased out. Everything today is digital. And you don't realize with digital, there's a nechois darga, it's a step down. It's not instantaneous. It's a delay. I know it's very interesting. You have the security cameras. So the old security cameras were all analog. But you have a camera outside that's watching. You have a nice screen. It's crystal clear. All the new technology is no longer analog. It's digital. It's digital. And that means all of the systems today in all the buildings and all of security services, it's not instantaneous. When a security guard is watching on the screen what's going on, it's at least a second, 1 second, 60-second delay. The Ganef has a 60-second head start. We've taken a step down. The analogs was instant. Whatever you see on the screen is happening this moment. The technology is not advanced enough that when you watch on a screen crystal clear, high definition of what's taking place outside on your screen, that you're witnessing it live. There is at least a 60-second delay. What?
You don't mean a whole minute.
What?
A whole minute?
Yeah. Many times it's a whole minute. It's not so quickly. Yeah. And then maybe it's something better. 30 seconds, there's a significant delay. So that poses a very great halachic challenge. I've mentioned all the places that were very makel on this, on listening to the Havdalah over the telephone,
well,
and listening.
He said the Havdalah particularly. He said no.
No, he said not.
His son said yes.
Rav David said yes.
Yeah, but he said because the Ikra Havdalah is the Eish, and you can't see the Eish. But today you have the
Even today, you will know this with the cell phones. When you listen to someone on the cell phone, have you ever listened to someone nearby? Have you ever called yourself? There's a good 3-4 second delay. It's not a minute. It's not 60 seconds. But when you ever call yourself, you have two phones. You want to test, right? I'm calling his phone. I'm talking. It's not. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
You don't realize there is a delay.
Right.
Okay. Years ago, when you had a regular telephone, old-fashioned rotary telephones, when you talked to someone, it was instantaneous. It's because of the satellites, and it's also because of the technology. It's not analog. It's a different technology, and the technology cannot be processed with all of the high tech world we live in. It cannot be processed so quickly. There are many more steps that have to be done in order to transmit, to take the sound, to convert it into a digital signal, to broadcast it, to receive it, and to decipher it, and to convert back into something that is audible. It takes time. It does not happen instantaneously. And if you test yourself, you take two cell phones, you call one another right in front of you, you're going to notice there's a delay. There's like a 2-3 second delay, and it's very annoying. So that poses a challenge in halacha. This that we normally we make, and we say that if you can reproduce a sound over a machine, that you yoytze a bracha, that was only assumed. That all the lumdis was all built on the principle that it's happening instantaneously. When there's a delay, that opens up a whole new world of kol havara. It's more of a problem. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how. Certainly, if you're watching something online, and I guarantee you, because I work in that field, if you're watching a video online, when you're watching a video online, it's at least a 15-second delay, if not a lot longer. When you're watching something online, you go to any website, and you see, oh, live, go watch this event live, concert live, some telethon live, online, with this video. Forget about sound. On the radio, they also have delays because of, nivel peh. They have delays. That's by choice. That's by choice. But by video, it's not by choice. It's just not possible because of the whole system. There are lags in the system. They need time to catch up. So there has to be at least a 15-second delay, if not even more. Therefore, if you hear someone laying the Megillah, you're watching him laying the Megillah online, are you yoytze the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah by watching even not lechatchila for sure not? But what about b'di'evet? It's either this or nothing. It's a big, big problem. It's a big, big machlokes. You can say that a 15-second delay is considered to be okay. It's considered acceptable. What? With a microphone?
Yeah.
That's another shy. L'chor you that you be make you be make you can be yoytze.
The question is,
if they would turn off the microphone, would you hear his real voice? What exactly is the microphone doing? Is the microphone if you turn off the microphone, you couldn't hear one word? So that's no different than listening to him over a telephone. Okay, so there are many poskim that say that over a telephone, you yoytze, so it's no worse. But if you want to go work with a place that's over a telephone, it's no good. So you're live, I'm in the same room, and you can't hear so well. I don't know. Obviously, you do what you can do. The answer always comes down to lechatchila, it's no good. But we have no other option, then it's good. You have yesh al mi lismach. Let's go further. So we discuss over here the David shofar. So hearing the shofar of the telephone is not going to be good because shofar, there's a principle of you have to hear the actual sound. You're not allowed to hear an echo, an artificial sound, or even the sound itself that has been reverberated. So you have to go hear the sound of the shofar live. You cannot be yoytze by hearing the sound of the shofar over the telephone or any other type of technology. Yeah.
I want to add, because I work with deaf people, there's a whole talmud about cochlear implants and hearing aids, and the very interesting machlokas, which is closer to hearing. Is the cochlear implant closer to actual hearing?
Yeah.
Or is the hearing aids closer to actual hearing? That's very interesting.
So hearing, the implant, you completely overriding the hearing.
Right.
You're not using the ear. You're going right into the brain.
Correct. A hearing aid is really just a microphone.
Right.
Amplify.
The ear is still being used.
It's a different shebang.
So seeing a very ancient hakira. When the Torah says to listen, when Yaitza listens, the Torah demand, a fascinating shayla. When the Torah says to listen, does that demand you use the organ that Hashem created to listen?
Yeah.
So hearing aids, you're using the ear. You're using the organ. It's just you're amplifying the sound. The cochlear implant, they bypass the entire ear. They don't use the ear. They go right into the brain, and they recreate the sound. It's amazing.
Some deaf people have in one ear the
regular
implant, and the other ear they have the hearing aid. It's very common. And my daughter used to be like that, and she switched now, both having the cochlear implant, which she did it, very wisely, but she said it was a mistake. Because she said very interestingly that the cochlear implant does not sound like real sound.
Interesting.
While the hearing aid does. She feels hearing aid is closer to real sound. All right, this is going.
Fascinating.
It goes on forever. But if you want Rabbi Jacob to speak to all about it, you know, I have a...
All the halakha shoes. Very, very fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
The technology every single day is creating new halakha dilemmas that we've never had before.
Yes,
such absolutely. A possibility to hear without your ears.
Yes.
Incredible things. Yes. The day maybe will come, you can see without eyes.
In fact, the greater the loss by cochlear implant, the greater hearing loss, the cochlear implant works better. If it works, it's incredible. There are people today who listen by cochlear implant and you don't even know that they're deaf.
Rush Limbaugh.
This is Rush Limbaugh.
Right. Every single day, 10 million people listen to Rush Limbaugh. You would never know he's
that's
deaf.
That's right.
Bayer himself.
What?
Bayer himself.
No. We have a very big supporter of Rush Limbaugh. I wouldn't say that here. I don't know if you're going to get out of here so quickly. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go back to
radio, absolutely. Yeah, don't give, he said it's because of the cochlear implant that he believes in God. I wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
So he explained that
I don't believe it.
Because he said God made me deaf at a time when deaf people can hear.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go. Another halacha. Tehillim. Rabbi Yisrael, there's a minog Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael. There's a minog Yisrael to recite Tehillim in Chodesh Elul. Chazal said there's nothing that is more powerful, more potent. There's nothing that's more potent in Shemayim to soften the din than the recital of Tehillim. How many Perakim are there in Tehillim? 150. How many times should a person recite Tehillim in the Chodesh Elul? Twice. Two times the entire Tehillim, because 150 multiplied by 2 is 300. The Gematria, Kaper. Kaper means to atone. Kaper. So it's the Minhag Yisrael to recite the entire Tehillim in Chodesh Elul. Now, Slichas. Slichas. Now let's discuss Slichas. Slichas begins at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. This year, Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night. Derek, is that correct?
Yes.
Sunday night. So therefore, we have to go back and say to Slichas, not for 4 days, but from Mitzvah Shabbos, we'll be saying Slichas for 6 days. 7 days, right? You have Mitzvah Shabbos also, Erev Rosh Hashanah, so it's going to be Mitzvah Shabbos through Friday, only you don't say it on Shabbos, so it's going to be 7 days. So what I'm saying is that. Why is the minimum? That's a very, very interesting idea. This I saw not in the safe, a very fascinating idea. Incredible Chiddush. Why do we recite Slichos for 4 days? So everyone knows the answer. Bikur. We learned this from the Korban Tamid. The halacha is the carbon tamid has to be inspected for 4 days. You do not bring on the mizbeach an animal as a carbon to Hashem unless it has been prepared 4 days in advance. This is based upon a drasha, it's a gemara. The gemara has the discussion, the whole process. The animals are inspected to make sure they are clean from blemishes, and they are ready to go 4 days in advance. Being that when we daven, Unashalma Fadim Sifaseinu, our tefillah is equivalent to Hakbring of Korbanos, we have to inspect ourselves 4 days in advance. How do we inspect ourselves 4 days in advance? We recite Slichos. And why don't we just have a standard 4 days in advance? So indeed, there are opinions in the Rishonim that say we should do exactly that. Every single year, it should be exactly 4 days. For other reasons, other Poskim say we should do it the entire month of Elul. As a compromise, in order not to get confused, we always start on Mitzvah Shabbos, the week. Mitzvah Shabbos, provided that there will at least be 4 days. This year, if we would start Mitzvah Shabbos, there would only be 1 day. So we have no choice but to push it back the week before. That's how it comes out. Now you have to go back and study the sugya of bikur, of inspecting the animals 4 days in advance. I came across this yesterday. It's a very, very fascinating sugya. And there are many opinions in the Rishonim exactly what the technique, the procedure was, and what was the purpose. From the Rambam, it is mashma that the animal has to be fully inspected already 4 days before it's offered on the Mizbeach. Let me step back. Most of us assume that 4 days before an animal goes on the Mizbeach, no one ever looked at it. The very first time someone is going to lay their eyes upon the animal to determine if it's eligible to go on the Mizbeach is 4 days before. It's now 4 days before this animal will potentially be brought on the Mizbeach. Let's look at it for the very first time to see if it's okay.
That's not logical, otherwise you'd have thousands of animals waiting instead of screening them right before.
Well, the first day, until it gets into motion, there's a procedure. You are right, I don't know all the details, but you have to work out the details. The Gemara and the Rishonim discussed the details of how it worked out. But simply, when you learn the Gemara, and you've heard this all the time, it's now, you take an animal, we look at it for the very first time, we inspect it, it looks good to me, okay, that means you will be offered on the Mizbeach in 4 days from today. And then there's a halacha tomorrow, give it another look, just make sure nothing went wrong. Something went wrong, we have backups. And then look at it on day three, and look at it on day four. So it would appear that you would inspect it 4 days in a row. Each day you did exactly the same thing. The Rambam, it's mashma, that's not the way it worked. The animals were inspected before 4 days. 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. And already got a stamp of approval. This animal is ready to go. It was thoroughly inspected, let's say, a week before.
An individual brought a carbon, did he bring his own animal?
No, this halach of beaker only applies to the carbon tzibur. Only applies even to the carbon tamid. It does not apply to private carbonas.
But a private carbon, if he had to bring the animal, they had to inspect it.
That's correct. They would inspect it on the spot.
An animal that wasn't,
correct, that is correct. They would inspect it on the spot. On the spot, they would examine the animal for blemishes. If it's okay, they proceed. Like a security check at an airport. Okay, security
but
check.
But did he also have to bring it 4 days before?
No. A private carbon was not inspected until it was actually brought. You bring the animal into the Beis HaMikdash, they inspected it on the spot. They give a quick look, it looks good to me, proceed to the counter to get your ticket. But for a carbon tzibur, specifically the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, this was, they had a special chamber where they kept the animals ready to go with numbers. There was a procedure. It was inspected 4 days in advance. We all assume, the way we learned the Gemara, and this is indeed the correct interpretation according to most of the Rishonim, that the animal was first looked at 4 days in advance. They never would even bother to look at the animal until it was 4 days. Okay, we look at the animal, everything looks good. Okay, put the animal in this chamber, give it some food. There's a guardian. In 4 days from now, it's going to go on the Mizbeach. And then, now it's the next day. 3 days to go. 2 days to go. 1 day to go. And every day, they would just give a look at it, make sure everything is okay. The Rambam says it's not the way it worked. The Rambam says you inspected the animals way in advance. Let's make sure they inspected already 7 days in advance. And they examined it, and they made a determination this animal is eligible. Now, it's eligible, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you put the animal in the chamber to sit and do nothing for 4 days. The 4 days was not a time when you made an examination. The 4 days was just dead time, was waiting time. It's just going to sit and wait. You go fly to Eretz Yisrael, they tell you to come 3 hours in advance, at least, right? And what do you do for 3 hours? You come there, if you're lucky and there's no big lines, you get the security very quickly, get your ticket, and now you have 2 hours to burn. Nothing to do for 2 hours. To sit and walk around, to go to the duty-free shops, and to do whatever you want to go do for 2 hours. So they have to keep you entertained, they have to have televisions, they have to have seating and food, v'chulu. It's just dead time. Why is there dead time? That's the way the world works. There has to be dead time. There's nothing to do. We're not going to screen you. We're not going to go interrogate you and ask you questions. We're not going to go check your baggage. All of that is already done. You're done with that. You've gone through security. You got your ticket. You have your boarding pass. You're now ready to go. And the plane is ready to go. The plane is all fueled up. Everything is ready to go. But we can't go until the time says, until the schedule, time to go. But you have to be here. you still have to be here and sit and wait in this room for 2 hours, an hour, whatever it is. You got to sit and wait and do absolutely nothing. That's what we want. That's the way the world goes. The Rambam basically says that's the way it goes by Korbanos. Everything is done. The animal is ready to go. They've made a full, thorough inspection. But yet, the animal has to sit in the lobby of the airport for 4 days and do absolutely nothing. Why? It somehow creates a different frame of mind. For the animal, maybe. And for and the Kohanim. And for the people. The fact that the animals are just sitting and waiting and doing absolutely nothing creates a whole different atmosphere. Incredible chiddush. Because if not for the Rambam, not and those who certainly disagree with the Rambam, that's not what it is. You know what the 4 days are? The 4 days are to inspect it. Basically, according to the other Rishonim, there is no waiting time. Everything is efficient. You don't wait when you go, according, if you would want to make a parallel to the airplane, it means you come to the airport exactly when the airplane is about to take off. Okay, in a world with driverless cars and all of the street lights are synchronized. Can you imagine? Think about such a world. No one's using steering wheels. You'll show one day your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, a steering wheel. What is this? What is this? It's like showing someone a rotary phone today. What is this? What do you do with this? Show someone a steering wheel. What is this? I don't know what this is. Driverless cars. Street lights. You don't even need street lights because everything will be synchronized automatically. So if you want to go and fly to Eretz Yisrael, a driverless car will come pick you up exactly at the moment when you need to get into the car. It already knows exactly how much time it will take to get you to the airport without any suffix, without any traffic, because everything is synchronized, all the street lights. You'll be there, and you'll be whisked into the airplane. You're not going to have to waste 1 second. According to Rashi, many Rishonim, that's exactly what happened by the Korbanos. There's no waiting time. Everything that's happening in the Beis HaMikdash is being utilized. There are 4 days for a reason. On all 4 days, we inspect the carbon. Now, Lamai Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is, what is the purpose of Slichas? It's an incredible, incredible Chiddush. I saw this yesterday. Incredible Chiddush. According to most of the Rishonim, the purpose of saying Slichas for 4 days, and by extension, we do it the week before, is to get you ready for Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to do anything until then. Yeah, Elul, you blow shofar. Okay, blow shofar, you hear the shofar. No, gets you in the right mood, behave yourself. You go to a shiur, inspirational speech, get you in the right frame of mind, you say L'dovin, you know, little things, get you ready. But when you really get serious, when you really get serious about Elul, Slichas, Tzai Shabbos, after Chatzos, okay, you come, they make the Arun Kodesh, they change our Paroiches, oh, now we're serious. And now we're going to work. For the next week, we're going to work on saying slichos and working on getting ourselves into the right frame of mind to be ready for the Yom HaDin. That's bikur, just like a carbon. For 4 days, they gave the animal a workout. They gave a stress test, took its blood pressure, checked its vitals. The animal, they brought as a carbon on the Beis HaMikdash. They gave a workout, okay? It was a center. You know, there was. Okay, depending on what it means. That's but according to Moshe Rabbeinu, four days we're inspecting the animal. We're giving it a real thorough examination. All the blood tests, stress tests, treadmill, everything has to be perfect and for 4 days. We're working. The Rambam says no such thing. All the work has to already be done by the time you get to Bikur. And Bikur is just dead time. It's just time to wait. Zman. That means, according to the Rambam, Slichos is too late. You have the whole Chodesh Elul is the time when you get ready for Slichos. When you come to Slichos, that there's nothing, there's no more work to do. You already have to have done the work to get ready for Slichos. Slichos is just basically, it's not dead time, you're davening, it's the transition moment of being in the airport lobby before you board the plane. There's no security check. There's no buying of the tickets, selecting seats. It's done. Everything is done. You're just sitting and waiting. Why is there that wait period? There's a reason for it. Whatever the reason is, there's a wait period. Slichos is not a time to hustle. You got to have done all of the tshuva. You're completely cleansed. You're ready to go. And now Slichos is the pregame. It's the pregame. You're ready here at the stadium. And now we're already in motion into Rosh Hashanah. It's a totally different approach to Slichos. Is Slichos the Zman to work, or is Slichos the Zman that already began? That's not between Rashi and the Rambam when it comes to understanding what is Bikur. Okay, let's go further. Talis. Wait. When is the ideal time to recite Slichos? The night, let's assume, is divided into three mishmaros, three watches. There are 12 hours at night. Make-believe is a perfect night. It's 12 hours. So from 6 to 6. So when is the ideal time to say Slichos? 2 o'clock. From 2 to 6. While the last 4 at 4, 8, 12. You're supposed to say Slichos in the last third of the night. The night is divided into three mishmaros. Each mishmar is 4 hours. The Zman of Rachamim is the third Mishmar Shalaila. The third Mishmar of the night is the time of the most Rachamim. Thus, the time to recite Slichos is in the third Mishmar, which is basically to say Slichos between 2 to 6. Problem, when you finish Slichos, you have to say Tachanun. That's part of the Nusach of Slichos, to say Tachanun. And Tachanun cannot be said at night. You do not recite Tachanun at night. Therefore, if you're supposed to say Slichos in the third Mishmar, and you're not supposed to say Tachanun at night, you're supposed to pace yourself to say the Slichos at the end of the Mishmar. If you know that it takes you only 20 minutes to say Slichos, so begin the Slichos 20 minutes before Alois HaShachar, before day. So when you'll finish your Slichos, it will now be the beginning of day, so you can end off your Slichos with Tachanun. That is the ideal. How many people today are able to do the ideal? Almost none. Maybe one in 100.